Knitting is All the Rage series by Swing Set in December, read by Rhea 3 and 4, for Anatsuno in ITPE 2017. 1. Beacon Hill's Ditch and Bitch, Chapter 28. Derek meets Julia through his court-appointed anger management class, which is largely due to his less-than-cooperative arrest and hostile behavior during a subsequent interrogation for the murder of his sister, despite finally being exonerated. Regardless, he meets Julia being required by another judge to find her zen in some way other than beating up guys twice her size when they were dicks. Julia says that with a steady heartbeat. They're partners in class, mainly since they're the youngest there. Julia reminds him of Laura. Julia crinkles her nose dubiously when their teacher makes them draw their feelings tree and whispers sarcastic commentary during the PSA videos that their teacher never fails to unearth. Some from the 1970s. She has a quick wit and a bright smile. She smells like ink and paper and is always in sharp suits, and her dark brown hair frazzled by running around doing whatever junior associates do at her law firm. She has helped him out of a parking ticket, so Derek assumes she knows what she's doing. Aside from when she gets into rants with non-communicative vending machines during their class breaks. Derek isn't really getting anything out of the class. Aside from Julia's company and shitty coffee, he's still angry. Very angry. He feels the teacher edge away from him a lot. That only gets Julia to snort with barely concealed laughter. So, on their last day, Julia gives him crimson yarn, unexpectedly. She wrapped it in a Transformers gift bag. Derek hears Styles' gleeful laugh, sharp and bright, in his head for a moment. His eyes casting a quick look around, as if Styles would appear from behind the door, tumbling in ungracefully with a million words to say on Derek being in Beacon Hills' community center on a Wednesday. "Oh, don't give me that look," huffs Julia, her hands on her hips. "I'm trying to help. You have a lot of pent-up anger, Derek." "I don't," he says, because the teacher is staring at him warily, clutching the feeling stick. Derek hates the feeling stick. He's broken, too, already. "Right," says Julia. "Well, we meet at Cafe Luna on Monday at 6. My boyfriend's roommate actually runs it. It's very zen. And no, I'm not bullshitting you. I actually haven't contemplated strangling my douche-tastic coworker in 2 weeks since I started knitting during lunch breaks." Derek looks at the yarn again, contemplative. He's going to miss his weekly hour of normalcy the class provides, mainly since Julia is the only person his age that treats him like he's not out to ruin their lives and kick puppies. "Mondays?" The grin that blossoms on Julia's face is a punch to the gut. Laura would have loved hanging out with her. It's not just Derek there who's the only guy. There's Steve. Steve looms because knitting is too frustrating for him, since his hands still tremor a bit. He's recently back from his second Iraq tour. Cece, Julia's boyfriend's roommate, who smells like a craft store exploded, runs workshops at the VA hospital, so Derek feels less like the odd one out. He ends up talking to Steve about cars, baseball, and the secrets of making a good chili. Plus, watching Julia pout over her knitting is hilarious. They all take turns buying coffee. It's nice. He's got the makings of a scarf, or a dish towel if he wants to stop. Cece is always quick with encouragement, and is always there with a sunny smile. He actually helped change her tires with her boyfriend Mike on a quiet weekend. Staying for dinner and catching the Dodgers cream the Mets on Mike's flat screen. It's odd. Odd to have people outside of PAC in his contact list. Odd that Steve will randomly call to see if Derek wants to join a pickup game of football at the park. It's odd, but Derek feels like it's something. Something good. So he starts knitting outside of Mondays, and when the weather nips down to chilly, he's got a scarf. Cece shows him how to cast off. They argue good-naturedly on how to finish it, Julia still bitter about her warped hat. The one that makes her look like a renegade smurf, but not in a good way. He's already promised to make her a scarf. She's adamant about red and gold, something about a book series she can't stop talking about. Derek's not used to friends, but this group feels like it. A group that isn't a band of teenagers that almost never listen. It's Styles who notices. Styles always notices. "New scarf," he says. "Didn't know werewolves felt nippy." Derek's bitch face speaks for itself, but his anger is lethargic. Knitting has been helping, or maybe the fact that it's a Monday night and he's full of Cece's blondie bars. Styles rocks on his heels, expecting a lunge, but Derek just stands there. Styles actually wilts, which confuses Derek more than he'd like to admit. He would have thought his non-reaction would be progress to this growing trust between them, but Styles looks put out, hunching more in his jacket and rubbing his arms. "I made it," he admits gruffly, which makes Styles's eyes widen in shock. Derek unwinds it from his neck and hands it to the younger man. He has a full night of training to get to. Styles looks a bit blue. The warehouse is anything but insulated from the autumn chill. Styles is actually speechless.
"Don't get it dirty,"
Derek growls out, when Styles seems unsure what to do. Derek ignores Styles's rabbiting heartbeat as he takes off his leather jacket in preparation for training. The air is cool but comfortable. Styles wraps the scarf around his neck gingerly and looks at Derek warily. But the moment is broken when Isaac and Erica barrel into the building. He forgets to take it back, the night ending with another argument over the Argents with Scott. "Cute scarf," says a pretty brunette from behind Styles. Styles flails and almost spills his coffee. The woman steadies his arm. "Thanks," he says, his face heating. He's been wearing it since Monday. Even when the cold snap ended, Derek hasn't said anything, and Styles refuses to read more into it. He feels his ears burning regardless. The brunette grins impishly before walking off. Derek's got a new ball of yarn, a deep indigo color. "Not making a matching set?" asks Julia from over her new project of socks. Or gloves, it's hard to tell. Cece usually fixes it when Julia goes to the washroom.
"What?"
"Your young man." She trails off with a knowing smirk. Derek feels his face heat unexpectedly, his heart clenching weirdly. "Don't worry, I think he feels the same way," consoles Julia. Derek frowns at his needles. He's just making a new scarf. That's all. He feels awkward to ask for the scarf back, especially since he still has Styles' shirt from that whole debacle with Scott's cell phone. It's more of an even trade, no matter how big Julia's grin is getting. 2. To keep you warm in your travels. It's November when the temperature dips below freezing. Julia gives Derek a knitted hat for his birthday. It's a mishmash combination of orange and yellow mustard. Derek's quite speechless at it. "I made it all by myself," she preens. Cece shakes her head from where she's cutting his red velvet cake that she and Mike surprised him with. The whole group did. Getting a warbling happy birthday going with the rest of the cafe. It was mildly embarrassing. Scratch that. Very much embarrassing. Steve coughs back a choked laugh, using the cake as an excuse to avoid Julia's glare. "I did. Cece, tell Derek I did," she says. "Totally," Cece agrees, but winks over at Derek. "See?" says Julia, glaring at Steve. "Now try it on. I had to guess about how big your ginormous head was."
"My head is a normal size," he protests,
and tries to duck out from Julia cramming his head into his new hat. There, she grins. Adorable. Mike takes a picture with his camera. You have to wear it now, Julia declares. It makes you look cunning. Steve can't hold back his snort. He gets cake up his nose. It's the sweetest hat ever, agrees Cece, and Derek feels like he's missing a joke. A good-natured one by how Cece and Julia are grinning.
Don't worry, Derek. Me and the guys pitched in for Dodgers tickets, says Steve, handing off a card signed by the pickup football team and Mike's messy writing.
Derek opens his mouth, but words fail him.
You didn't have to.
Oh, don't get all emotional. Here, cake, says Julia, passing him a plate. And keep the hat on, birthday boy. As birthdays go, it's more than he could ever want. He's chopping wood outside when he hears the yelp of surprise.
Oh my God, gapes Stiles. This is what it feels like to go insane.
Derek shoots him a bewildered look.
You're wearing...
Stiles gestures wildly, a dusty pink flushing his face. Derek raises an eyebrow.
A hat?
He answers dryly. Stiles licks his lips, and his eyes widen more.
Makes a statement,
Stiles says weakly. Shooting Derek another bewildered look, his heart beating like a hummingbird's. His hands tugging at his crimson scarf. Derek tugs at his hat self-consciously. It clashes with just about everything, especially his leather jacket. But Julia and Cece light up with happiness whenever they see him wear it, so he's fallen into the habit of grabbing it before going out. Stiles is gaping at him.
What? He growls out. Nothing.
Stiles coughs.
It looks good. Great.
And he spins around quickly and walks toward the Hale house.
I'm just going to get the bestiary, you know, and do stuff. Yeah.
Stiles leaves Derek bewildered, his axe hanging loose between his fingers. He touches his head gingerly in confusion.
Pull yourself together, Stiles. Nerdgasming over a hat isn't suave, no matter how hot it is.
Stiles's hushed mumble is almost indecipherable from outside, but Derek's ears aren't average. Derek's heart stutters over the words. His cheeks flush a bright crimson. He blames it on the weather. But he thinks he owes Julia and Cece a month's worth of coffee. A simple thank you wasn't enough. The end. If you enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through the story's post. Happy ITPE, Anetsuno! Hope you're doing well!